Yeah. सरस्वती श्री श्रीमाज सभाई श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद श्रीमद भागवताम की श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की मेरे भक्त वृंद की गाय गौर प्रेमंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु श्री गौर Stand up a little bit while these two devotees are placed to sit. So we'll continue with Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And it's nectar, just selecting what slice of the nectar to read from. We discussed how Srimad Bhagavatam, or Srimad, how Brihad Bhagavatamrita is, in one sense, a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, in another sense, literally, it's an addendum to Mahabharata. It's Maharaj Parikshit's summary, in essence, of everything that he heard from Shukadeva Goswami. The first part was, who is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, and the conclusion of that was the residents of Vrindavan. And here we are in Vrindavan, at least for visitors in Vrindavan, hearing every day, again and again, about wonderful pastimes that take place between Radha and Krishna, and Krishna the cowherd boys, and Krishna and Mother Yasoda, and Krishna and Govardhan. And then the natural beauty of Vrindavan, I guess what I'm trying to say is that just like our experience today of just going through a village, several little villages, and each of the days we go out to these further out forested areas, and just experiencing simple Vaishnava life, and then hearing the descriptions, like he keeps, it's very, very wonderful, he keeps pointing out the trees and the birds and the, that's just today, Kali Yuga version today of what when, like you saw two palm trees in what was Kalavan, a whole forest of palm trees. So you can see the palm tree and hear the narration and be carried by that sound vibration to that place. And that can, maybe if what you're saying is the combination of those things, the experiences, the narration, the letting go of the immediate surroundings and just being carried by those mediums to the place where Krishna performs his eternal pastimes, then we can go beyond the limiting factors of modern stuff. That would you?
Yeah.
Sounds like you and Acharya should have a little
sure.
discussion. Okay. Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Here are the four kinds of food which were endowed with all good qualities. Krishna began to eat. Commentary. Since Sri Krishna was the star attraction at lunch, Sarup gives particular attention to how Krishna was fed. Mother Rohini arranged the meal artistically on excellent serving dishes and sent it out to the dining hall. The food displayed all admirable qualities, good fragrance, good color, good taste, and so on. Translation. He heartily devoured the various preparations, which filled many separate bowls brought in on a large gold platter. Commentary. Literally, kavalayan means rolling the food into morsels to be chewed and swallowed. At one point, his mother, father, and brother took turns carefully putting morsels into his mouth, which he playfully accepted. At intervals, he also drank various first-class beverages carried in large bowls and pure water carried in pitchers. At the start of the meal, he ate very tasty, warm, sweet rice with ghee and sugar, together with jalebis, cakes, pies, and flatbreads. He ate other items fried in ghee, and also sweetened yogurt and various things made from transformation of yogurt and milk. In the middle of the meal, he ate fine, white, warm, fragrant, tender rice with fried dal wafers, leafy greens, soups, and other vegetable dishes. He ate preparations made mostly of milk products with predominantly sweet and sour tastes, plus sour things mixed with salt and pungent spices. Toward the end, he again ate condensed sweet yogurt, various other items prepared from yogurt, and buttermilk laced with asafoetida and other spices. And while eating himself, he also fed me. Me means Gopal Kumaro, now Sri Sarup. Commentary. The Raja Nighantu dictionary gives a recipe for the sweetened yogurt preparation known as Shikharini. Here's the recipe. To 32 palas, or about 1,500 grams of yogurt, add 8 palas each of rock sugar, ground black pepper, cinnamon, and ground green cardamom. 4 palas of honey, so that's 32 to 4, so 1/8 the amount of honey. And 4 palas of ghee. Keep the mixture for some time in a vessel packed with ice. There's the recipe. Neither words nor the mind can picture how Krishna's lovely tongue rising to his dawn pink upper lip while he chewed, sported within the cheeks of his lotus face, while his lotus eyes and bow-like eyebrows danced wonderfully. Commentary. Even how Krishna chews on jalebis and other foods is a wonder to behold. Everything the Supreme Lord does is attractive, and everything done by his fully surrendered devotees. Like watching Prabhupada eat, or remember hearing Jai Vaishnavas described very, very artistically, just watching Prabhupada drink water. Remember? It's like we heard Dina Bunda describe Prabhupada as the Mundagat preparing to go into the Ghat, that he just He did it with one, his uchariya and kurta and sweater and dhoti and tamshu. It was all done with like one motion. So Prabhupada reaching for the water and just hold it, held it up in the air like this and just poured it in his mouth and not a drop of sweat or set it down. It was just a wonder just even to watch Prabhupada drink water. So, Mother Yashoda then placed before them sweets cooked in milk, ghee, and sugar, which the gopis had brought from their homes. With wonderful, playful gestures, Krishna ate from all the dishes the gopis brought, praising every item and eating from each dish more than once. Thus he made all the gopis happy. He also fed some of these items to me with his own hand. Next, Sri Radhika brought Manohara Ladus. Those of us who are on Parikram heard about Manohara Ladus and Radha. Let's see if he does the same thing. Yeah, here it is. Right here, right in Vihat Bhagavatamrita. Both small round ones and large flat ones, and set them down on Krishna's left side. Commentary: the Manohara Ladu is aptly named because the sweet ball that steals the heart. Sri Radha placed these ladus on Krishna's left, where he could easily reach them. Krishna picked up a few of these sweets with the nails of his forefinger and thumb and put them on the tip of his tongue. Then he made a face as if they tasted like bitter mead. Krishna's brother smiled. His mother was angry at Sri Radhika, and his father was surprised. Radhika's innocent girlfriends were pained, and her antagonists were delighted. We didn't get Dina Bandhu's facial. He imitates this pastime. He does a wonderful job. And, but I don't know if he's read this. All these different personalities responding to everything Krishna does. So Mother Yashoda was angry with the girls for bringing Krishna bitter sweets. Nanda, doubting how this was possible, was surprised. Sri Radhika's sakis were upset. They thought something bitter must have been put into the ladus by mistake. The gopis belonging to the rival parties were enlivened by their antagonist's mistake. Among Radharani's sakis, the innocent-minded were unhappy, but the more clever could see that a joke had been played that would further highlight Sri Radhika's good fortune. Since I was born in the family of Radharani's brother, this is Sri Sarup, is now disclosing the fact that Sarup is the younger brother of Sridham and the younger brother of Srimati Radharani. Since I was born in the family of Radharani's brother, Krishna threw all the ladus onto my plate, surprised to find them extremely tasty. I ate them all. Commentary: Sridham is the brother of Srimati Radharani, and Sarup is also a member of their family. Sri Krishna thought it fit to dump the ladus on his plate. These bitter ladus are not suitable for me, but her relative deserves to eat them. In truth, however, Krishna knew that the ladus were most perfectly prepared and gave them to Sarup out of great love. Radha, translation now. Radha secretly looked at Krishna and moved her eyebrows. nodding his head. He also gratified her with a gentle smile and a sidelong glance. Commentary: to make sure that Sri Radha was not ashamed and unhappy because Mother Yasoda was angry with her, Krishna divulged his true feelings. So Sri Swarup continues, suddenly I understood that this was a pastime enacted by that crash jewel of skillful actors to utterly please those tormented by the weight of their love for him. Then Krishna properly washed his mouth and playfully chewed some excellent pan. While glancing at Radhika, he put the pan he had chewed into my mouth. Yes, he's the family member of Radha. Commentary: without arousing suspicion in the other gopis, the most expert romantic hero, Krishna, pleased Radhika by placing this desirable remnant into the mouth of her family member. Translation: anxious from affection, Krishna's mother chanted mantras and rubbed his belly with her left palm again and again to make sure he would digest what he had eaten. Commentary: there's no real danger of such a lovingly prepared meal causing indigestion, but Mother Yasoda was obsessed with keeping her son happy and comfortable. Such was her unique love for him. Continuing, Nanda Maharaj went out into the cow pastures, intelligent Balaram went to sleep, and Krishna, singing songs, wandered about the cow pens. Commentary: perceptive Balaram could understand that this was a good chance for Krishna to enjoy some of his more private pastimes. He therefore rested inside the house. Yasoda was also inside, busy with housework. Eager to enjoy with the beautiful girls of Braja, Krishna played outside for a short time. Then, out of respect for his mother, Krishna responded to her distant call and came home. Going straight to his bedroom, he lay down comfortably on the bed, which had cotton sheets as soft and as white as the foam of milk. Commentary: Gaurava means great respect. Although Krishna is always eager to consort with the gopis, he is also attracted by the special love of his mother. He is Akila Rasamrita Murti, or the embodiment of all relationships, not just the Madhurya Rasa. Continuing, that spacious bed equipped with soft pillows of various kinds, some like spotless full moons, lay on an effulgent bedstead beautifully ornamented with shining gold, bedecked with priceless gems. Commentary: in Nanda Maharaja's home, some of Krishna's pillows have shape and color similar to the full moon. The difference being that spots do not mar these full moons. Krishna's bed also had other elongated pillows. Especially soft are the ones he used to rest his head. A splendid canopy draped with strings of pearls further enhanced the beauty of that bed, which stood in a room fragrant with aguru incense. That palatial room, which excelled all others, as the lion excels all other animals, boasted attractive closets constructed of many kinds of valuable gems. Commentary: the canopies above the bed were not only decorative, but also served the practical purpose of shading Krishna on nights when the moon was bright. All four corners of the room were decorated with curiously constructed closets. Continuing, skillful Radha had prepared wrapped pan and was offering them to Krishna by placing them into his mouth, while Chandravali and Sri Lalita playfully massaged his lotus feet. The gopis divided up various services among themselves. Some took up yak tail fans, others held ranges of boxes with more pan, others had several vessels for catching the falling remnants of pan, and others carried large pots of fresh water. Other gopis sang songs and recited prayers, pleasurable to his ears. Some played various musical instruments, and yet others exchanged joking words with him. Commentary: the gopis are always totally dedicated to satisfying Krishna. They sang his names and offered prayers because he is very pleased by such sankirtan. Continuing, served by all those gopis whose hearts were melting out of great affection for him, Krishna responded by distributing the prized remnants of his chewed pan, and he gave them to each gopi without letting the others see. Commentary: Krishna is more eager to fulfill the desire of his devotees than to receive their service. On this occasion, he gave the prasad of his pan to all the gopis. This does not mean, however, that Krishna treated all the gopis exactly the same way. He reciprocated with each of them individually, unseen by the others. In this way, the crest jewel among the assembly of great deceivers gratified all his beloved girlfriends with his behavior. Then, pleased by the loving talks of Sri Radhika, he took a short pastime nap. Signaled by a gesture from Krishna, the gopis, overflowing with happiness, all left for their own homes. Commentary: even when Krishna sent the gopis home, they were happy because as they were leaving, he secretly asked each of them to meet him later. Then another rasa starts. Sridham came and with some effort brought me to his house. I can't say anything about Krishna's pastimes during the night. Commentary: Sarupa's disciple might be curious. Sarupa speaking to the Brahmin. Sarupa's disciple might be curious about the pastimes of Krishna, hinted at by the gopis, by looking at the gopis, moving his eyebrows, etc. But as Sarup tells him, that topic is not for them to discuss. So Sarup continues, I spent that night in great distress. Early next morning I went to Nanda Maharaja's residence and saw Krishna, whose body showed signs of conjugal enjoyment, asleep on his bed. Commentary: Sarup was too excited to sleep, and so there is no mention of his waking up. At dawn, he went to see Krishna and saw fingernail scratches all over his body. Translation: Krishna's simple-hearted mother came in and sat down at his side. While she attentively took care of him in various ways, she said something under her breath. Commentary: Mother Jasoda also saw the marks, as Sarup had seen, but was not capable of doubting. What had caused them? Probably she was capable of doubting. Her mind worked in a simple, straightforward way. She busied herself in bathing Krishna and getting him ready for the day. Mother Jasoda said, Oh, all day my little boy tended the cows in the forest, fatigued. He was happy to go to sleep, and he is still not awake. Commentary: Jasoda could hardly think that Krishna was not up yet, because he was awake all night dancing with the gopis. Instead, she thought he was still asleep because he was just a little boy. Mother Jasoda goes on, As he ran about in the forest, nasty thorns made cuts all over his body. This was Yasoda's explanation for the scratches made by the fingernails of the amorous gopis. But as she carefully examined and gently touched the marks with her hand, she wondered how thorns in the forest could have cut his lips. Well, running all over and playing wildly with the boys, he must have fallen face first into a brush. Mother DeSoto continues, oh, how painful this must have been for him. But now, being fast asleep, he is not aware of anything. And he has smeared the cudgel from his eyes all over his body, which the commentary says is the gopi's eyes cudgel, which was now smeared all over his body. He does not even know that he spilled the red pan juice from his own lips all over himself, and that by turning over and over again in the bed, he has broken his necklaces, garlands, and other ornaments. And the commentary says the red stains on Krishna's cheeks were actually from the pan the gopis had been chewing, and his garlands and necklaces had broken while embracing them. Krishna's clothing and the protective thread on his neck were also in disarray. But Mother Yasoda ascribed all this to his rolling about in his sleep. Oh, she continued, it seems that even his bath could not wash off this saffron-colored clay from the shore of the river Jamuna. It has become like his body's inseparable friend. And again, this red clay is the kun-kun from the gopi's breasts. Yesterday evening, due to carelessness, those fickle girls neither properly bathed him nor nicely applied and wiped off the excess oils. Sri Sarup said, again and again Mother Yasoda spoke like that in front of the young girls of Braja who had just arrived there. Signs of fear, laughter, and embarrassment playfully shown on the girls' faces. Commentary. Mother Yasoda's name implies that she added to Krishna's fame. Yasha Dadu, Dadao, Yasho Dadao. The gopis arrived at Nanda Maharaja's house just as she was complaining about Krishna's disheveled state. Listening to her, they became afraid that she might begin to understand what Krishna had actually been doing at night. Still, they could not help but laugh at her naive statements and shrink in embarrassment seeing the obvious signs of their dalliance. Translation. Krishna then finished his pastimes of sleep. His mother bathed him, decorated him with ornaments, and fed him along with Balaram. She made him rest for a short while, and he enjoyed talking with the gopis. Then she made preparations for his auspicious departure to the forest. And this description is very, very nice. Again, it goes through all the rasas. Translation. Although the hearts of the young gopis were pained at the thought of soon being separated from Krishna, Mother Yasoda had them sing auspicious transcendental songs and carry full pots and other auspicious items. Commentary. No matter what ecstasy impeded them, the gopis had to do their service. After all, without their singing and carrying on their heads purna kumbhas, pots containing water, yogurt, flowers, unhusked barley, parched rice, and other pure substances, Krishna's departure for the forest would not be auspicious. Translation. Seating Krishna along with his elder brother on a chair, Mother Yasoda placed on their limbs ornaments and medicinal herbs suited for the forest. Commentary. Besides decorative ornaments, Yashoda also placed various items on their bodies to assure their safety, such as Garuda money, or emeralds for guarding against poison, tiger nails. I always wondered why, if Radha Govinda have some of those tiger nails and shark's tooth ornaments that they're decorated with. Enchanted talismans, protective threads and herbs meant for healing wounds. Continuing. Mother Yashoda engaged elderly Brahmana ladies and others in offering blessings, and she made Krishna carry out all the prescribed rituals to prepare for his outing. Commentary. Elderly Brahmanis blessed Krishna, as did the other older gopis. Krishna was more eager to get going than to touch his nose with his fingers and carry out other protective rituals. But his mother gave him no choice. Taking the lunch his mother gave him for noontime, Krishna stirred the cows from their rest and, placing them in front and playing his flute, set off. Commentary. Mother Yashoda had prepared lunch in advance for Krishna to take with him. He packed as much of it as he could in a bag, tied to a stick. Then he aroused the cows who were lying down and drove them forward, urging them on with the music of his flute. Continuing, just then, his companions, who were all fit to be his close friends, came out from the cowherd village in groups and gathered all around him. Again, different rasas are being stirred here. The cowherd boys, commentary, needed only to hear Krishna's flute to know that it was time for me, because their attention was never diverted to anything other than pleasing Krishna. It hardly mattered whether they had finished having breakfast or preparing themselves. If Krishna were going to the forest, they had to follow right behind. There were a great number of these companions of Krishna, and they naturally divided themselves into groups, led by prominent boys. All of them, however, were completely fit to be with the Supreme Lord in such close friendship. Continuing, at one moment he and the boys played their flutes, at another their buffalo horns, at still another they played various instruments fashioned from leaves. Thus they showed off by playing various kinds of music. Commentary. The boys made noisemakers out of blades of dharva grass and leaves they picked up from both sides of the path. Anybody know how to do that? Us Americans know how to do it. Translation. Krishna stood with his brother while their friends, playing things in hands, joyfully sang, danced, and glorified them. Commentary. Among the various things the boys carried were food and drink, balls, drums, fans, flags, seats, umbrellas, chamar fans, hand cymbals, and wooden shoes, the paraphernalia for their games in the forest. They were very happy to be away from their homes and on their way to the forest, where they could play however they liked. Continuing, Krishna's elder brother walked in front, and I walked behind. The girls, unable to tolerate being separated from Krishna, found excuses to follow as well, and left the village, helplessly pulled by the ropes of love. Commentary. Here Sarup only gives the gopis a slight mention, referring to them as simply Ta, meaning those girls, Taha, because anything he says about them might stir memories of their special relationship with Krishna and disturb the mood that Sarup is trying to set. Even though his relationship with Krishna was in Sakya Ras, if he were to remember the gopis' love for Krishna, Sarup would be unable to control his ecstasy. The gopis could hardly justify their walking out of the village in broad daylight. in front of everyone, but being helplessly attracted to Krishna, they were unable to tolerate his absence. Now another rasa. Mother Jasoda saw him perspiring from an ecstatic mood and came to wipe his face. Milk flowing from her breasts, she went with him as far as the outer gates of the village. Commentary. Krishna's face may have been perspiring from his longing to be with the gopis that arose when he saw them following behind. Mother Jasoda, however, was only concerned with wiping his face. First she wiped with her hand, and when that didn't work, she used the edge of her garment. I'm just going to go on for a few more verses because it goes up to the point where Nanda... Anyway. At his request, Mother Jasoda returned back toward the house. But oh, after two or three steps, she craned her neck and anxiously went back to her son. She prepared pan for him and put some in his mouth and some in his hand. She again turned toward the house, but again quickly came back to him. Commentary. Just like the first time, Yashoda again nervously turned around again and after craning her neck to see him, came back to him. Translation. Right on the path, she fed her son some fruits and other sweet things and gave him something to drink. Again she started going back to the house and again turned around. Thoroughly examining her son's clothes and other things, she put everything neatly in order. Once more she turned back and again came back to him. Then she plaintively instructed him. Commentary. Yashoda was so anxious when she spoke to Krishna because she knew he was very naughty and was likely to ignore her advice. She said, "My dear child, don't go too far into the impenetrable woods and never enter the forest where there are thorns." In this way, with a pitiful voice, she beseeched him with lengthy advice. Then, once again, she turned towards home, took a few steps, and came back. "My dear boy Rama, you stay in front of your younger brother, and you, Sridham, stay behind your friend with Sarup. Amsha should stay on his right, and you, Subal, stay on his left." Straw between her teeth, she implored them with these and other requests. Then she looked intently at her son. Commentary. Balaram, as the most competent of the boys, should walk in front of Krishna. The others would spontaneously take up their proper places around Krishna, but just to make sure they would, she exhorted them anyway. Other requests indicated by the phrase iti adhikam were that the boys should not let Krishna go into the thorny and dangerous places, and they should provide shade if the sun became too intense, and that they should be sure he ate nicely at lunch. Coming to the end of her list of requests, to evoke promises from Krishna and the other boys that they would do what she had asked, she looked intensely at Krishna's face. Continuing, thus, going back and forth anxiously again and again, Mother Yashoda showed concern greater than that of a very affectionate cow for her newborn calf. Commentary. This exchange between Yashoda and Krishna went on for some time, but Sarup wanted to avoid his description continuing indefinitely. Continuing. Her son then bowed down to her, took hold of her feet, and embraced her. With some effort, he used various pretexts, and finally his own strong statements to make her turn back. Commentary. Krishna hoped that by showing this elaborate display of respect and affection, he could convince his mother of how seriously he took her words. He reminded her that he also had to eat breakfast and attend to, that she had to eat her own breakfast and had to attend to various household chores. But when all his reasoning failed to convince her, he finally simply insisted very strongly that she go back. All this he had to do several times before she finally relented. Continuing, Mother Jasoda stood right there on that elevated spot, crying, milk dripping from her breasts, motionless like a painted picture, and watched from a distance as he entered the forest. Hare Krishna. Well, that ends a section. Maybe we should end there. There's another scene that is very, very... Nanda comes forward. And then a whole scene with Nanda Maharaj. And the forest animals are in the forest waiting, and Nanda is still holding on to the moments that he has with Krishna. And there's this tension back and forth.
No time to read it.
Shall I read it? Here's the next text. But